Monday night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Hariom, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a very interesting show for you this evening, and we'll be focusing on fourth density life and leaving victimhood behind. But before we get into those topics, I'd like to pay my respects to our listening audience, and thanks for the emails that have come in the past week. And for those of you who have questions about tonight's show or would like to have some input into content on future shows, you can always email me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. That's paper as in paper, fungo, F-U-N-G-O, at yahoo.ca. And interesting, the topic this evening, fourth density life. And as a prelude to that, just like to talk a while about this whole concept of victimhood consciousness, because to my way of thinking, the entry point into fourth density life is really taking 100% responsibility for your outer circumstances in 3D life. And I've studied from some of the great yogic masters, such as Sri Ramana Maharshi, although he wasn't living at the time on 3D, Paramahansa Yogananda, similarly, and Sri Swami Satchidananda, and learned a great deal from these great teachers, and certainly consciousness on the planet was always aware of the concept of enlightenment. And certainly in the 60s and 70s, there was lots of talk about self-search or enlightenment, certain experiences in cosmic consciousness, or whatever label you would like to put on the infinite. And I know Swami Satchidananda would always say that as many minds as many gods, because he used to give the example of experiencing a high state of consciousness and relating that somewhat to taking a cup to the ocean, that the ocean takes the shape of the cup. And similarly, when people have their own personal very high experiences, their experiences take the shape of their mind when they're trying to relate what that experience was. And of course, many of the great sages have talked about the fact of what they'd really like to talk about, there really are no words for, because it can only be experienced. And I think that was one of the key teachings as well of Sri Ramana Maharshi and his famous technique, the Vachara, which was about utilizing the comment, "Who am I?" and then negating certain aspects of the physical experience, such as, I am not my physical body, I am not my internal organs, I am not my thoughts, I am not this spot, what spot? And that was the process to take the focus of concentration up to a point and through a doorway. And the concept was only given to some of the more advanced disciples, but at the same time, it was a technique that basically neutralizes the mind. and then allows there to be a transcendence from the rational mind into a state of experience that many people, I guess, would relate to sort of like a baptism. It's sort of the spiritual baptism when someone becomes aware of the fact that you have a higher consciousness and also have the ability to attain a oneness with that consciousness. And as Bashar would say, that no one's given a desire without the ability to attain that desire. And thus throughout the time of the 60s and 70s, there were many valid spiritual avenues for people to explore. But to my way of thinking, it wasn't until, I guess, about 1971 when Jane Roberts' material, Channeling Seth, started talking about these concepts that are now so prevalent in the New Age consciousness, which is the concept that thought creates. And in addition to the concept that thought creates, that we are 100% responsible for our outer experience. And to my way of thinking, this has really been a focus of much of the Pleiadian channelings, especially through Barbara Marciniak, and as well through the teachings of Bashar. And the reason that I find this concept of taking 100% responsibility so vitally important is because it is the starting point of fourth density consciousness and a leaving behind of victimhood. And if we really look back through at least recent history, let's say from the time of Christ until now, clearly I think what we see is a history largely of victimhood, because the concept was never really taught to the masses that we're responsible for our outer experiences. So if we weren't responsible, then who was? Either it was happening at random, or it was happening to us. And in that respect, it was only natural to have blame and complaint and justification for our particular circumstance and not take personal responsibility. And again, as Bashar constantly points out, responsibility doesn't mean blame. Responsibility means the ability to respond. And in point of fact, it is our point of power, because it's the acknowledgement of taking that responsibility for the outer circumstance that allows you the power to change the outer reflection. And it also, to my way of thinking, is a focal point for all inner work as well. Because if you're not certain as to what your beliefs are, and some of them are not conscious to us, the outer experience tells you what those are. And then you can work backwards from the experience to the belief, because the belief had to create the experience. So what sort of belief would I have in order to be experiencing this certain particular manifestation in my outer circumstances? And thus this whole connection of self-empowerment comes to the forefront, because victimhood, in a sense, is a negative synchronicity, and to my way of thinking, arises because of these concepts of blame, complaint, justification, and of course, fear. And in the Bashar teachings, it's clearly pointed out that all fear is illusion, and that it is not in alignment with your higher self. When you channel energy through your higher self, the resulting manifestations are joy, excitement, love, compassion, gratitude, the very positive emotions. But when you channel the same energy through negative beliefs, and fear being one, then the resulting experience is one of negative emotion. And further to that, Bashar would say that there's only two objective facts. First, that everything was created with unconditional love. And second, that we have awareness. And the personality construct that we function with in 3D, he compares somewhat similar to a deep sea diver deciding to go into the density or the 3D world. And the apparatus that he uses to sustain himself in that water is the gear and the apparatus and the breathing systems, which he equates somewhat like to the personality construct. And the goggles giving the ability to see somewhat analogous to your ability to be aware and to remain connected to your higher self and the energy of your higher self. And because everything was created with unconditional love, obviously your higher self is more in alignment with that energy. So the more you're in alignment with that energy, the more you're in alignment with everything else of a positive nature. And in looking at the progression of these ideas, certainly they've been enhanced by the popularity of the show The Secret, which focused a lot on the power of positive thinking and the power of thought. And for those new listeners to ET Yoga, these whole concepts actually Bashar taught them about 25 years ago. All the information that a lot of people think is new really is a rediscovery of information that is clearly found in the Seth material as well as Bashar material 25 years ago. But it's only now reaching a point of somewhat popularity. And I realize that it is certainly a stretch for a lot of people to appreciate just how powerful we are and just how important it is to take 100% responsibility for the outer circumstance. And it is a way of freeing us up from victim consciousness. And to my way of thinking, until about 1970 to the present, really there's never really been a vehicle to enable us to free ourselves from that consciousness that does relate to victimhood. And certainly the whole concept of ascension or moving to fourth dimension begins with taking that responsibility. And one of the questioners of Bashar said, "So if I understand you, in fourth density we will experience time in a different way, and then each lifespan will continue for a much longer period." And Bashar said that the idea is that as you begin to live more in the now, in the present, and not so much living in the past, not so much living or worrying about the future, the more you live in the now, the less you experience the idea of time itself. You will simply lose track of when it is. The days, even though they may be observable by the coming and going of daylight, will not necessarily have as much meaning to you in the sense of absolutely having to know what time it is, what day it is. You will move as you feel you need to move, and you will automatically be exactly where you need to be when you need to be there, whether you know what time you got there or not. Days will blend into days, years into years. Years will pass, hundreds of years will pass. And to you it may still seem like a day. So much in the present are you living in the now, the eternal now. That is why many of you will find that your lifespans are increasing. This, in a sense, is an abstract misnomer. It is not literally that you are having more time. It is that you are creating less time. So you come into your primal now, continuous existence, and simply span the ages. They become reduced by comparison to you, since you are no longer counting. Now, because you will accelerate at that rate, it is our perception that your civilization does not need to remain physically embodied for any more than approximately 2,000 to 3,000 more years. Then at that time, you will go on to other realms and other dimensions. And a questioner said, as we progress through our transformation and we experience a lightening of our bodies, will we see a difference on our bathroom scales? And Bashar said, in a sense, you may choose to create the type of a symbol to represent the enlightenment of yourselves if you wish, yes. Gravity will no longer hold you quite so hard. So would it mean we will begin to have lighter, more resonating bodies? Yes, things will appear to be brighter to you. You will see colors more clearly. You will see energies that are now invisible to you. You will be able to truly see auric fields, the ethereomagnetic field, and any other interactive vibratory field that connects the idea of your total consciousness upon your planet. You will find that you have no disease. You will sleep and eat less. You will create your dreams upon your planet and also will interact with many other civilizations. You will rebuild many sections of your world, landscaping them into pleasing forms. You will cease to build on many sections of your world. You will build in space. You will explore space and dimensions of time and other levels of experience. You will begin to truly see through the illusion of physical reality as your own projection. You will be able to come and go in and out of your body at will. You will find you no longer need to reincarnate at all, and any time you wish to have the experience of a physical form for a brief period of time, you will all share a very few bodies. What will be the approximate population size? Within 1,000 of your years, it is likely, not absolute, but likely, that you will be down to 50 million. What about in 60 years? You may be beginning to reverse the trend down from approximately 6 billion. As we have said, you will find that you really are not overpopulated, you just do not apportion the land you have in equal ways. But again, once you begin to move out of the phase of reincarnation, and once you allow for more longevity of the lives you already have, then you will decrease your numbers. Many individuals will remain to function as non-physical support systems for those others who wish to continue for a time in physical reality, until such time as you no longer need to be physical at all. Some of you may stay around as non-physical support systems even then, for other beings who might want to use your physical reality as a new experiential reality and thus begin their cycle anew. Now you see, our present is not the result of our past, so will we be using our imaginations differently? You will be living in it. You will be experiencing your imaginations in as real a way as you have been experiencing physical reality. You will, as we have said many times, be living your dreams. Did you think we were being figurative? When we said you will be living your dreams, we were being quite literal. I'm not talking about the night dreams. I'm talking about daydreams. What is the difference? Night dream, daydream? All we are saying is that now the barriers are dissolving. The definitions that allow you to create the idea that night dreams, daydreams, and awake physical states are different. It is all going to be one experience. We do not, in your terms, really ever sleep because we are living in the dream. We never need to wake up into physical reality. We are awake. That is what is meant by living your dreams. Through experiencing your life as if it were the type of reality that you think is only relegated to your night dreams, the impossible is made possible. You will no longer be making a distinction between the dream reality and the physical reality, and feeling that physical reality is more real. Bashar, you said that nobody is going to go faster than anybody else. Well, not in an overall sense. There is a bubble, let us say, of leeway that you will stay within in general terms, even though some individuals may be more accelerated than others. But you will stay within the bubble of acceptability, thus allowing you all together as a bubble to move into fourth density at once. You will not get ahead of anyone else, although in a sense you may be ahead of someone else on a personal level. And the question was asked of him of what percentage of people would be going into fourth density, and Bashar goes, no, no, no. To ask for that type of information causes separation and is quite meaningless. Everyone who chooses to be fourth density, well, 100% of those people will be in fourth density. 100% of all those who choose to be in third density will be in third density, and so forth. There is no way to give you anything that is meaningful in terms of what percentage will be in fourth and what percentage will be in third. It is a constantly shifting idea. Choices at the moment they are made completely eradicate the percentages. So you could say right now 70%, right now 63%, right now 82%. What difference does it make? It's always changing. Okay, I got it, but it means that we as individuals can talk to people and plant seeds allowing them to change their minds. You can always share what you are, of course. You can share this idea with anyone with whom you come in contact, because you wouldn't have that contact if you could not share with them. Bashar, if a person reaches the stage where he no longer blames or points fingers, does that mean he has more or less achieved fourth density? And Bashar said, in a sense, yes. That will be the beginnings of the fourth density experience. There will be more and more changes, physiological changes, energy changes, sociological changes, all of which you will be able to witness as you go along in fourth density. But that will be the beginning of your willingness to consciously know that you are now, in fact, in fourth density. And that is how you would sum up fourth density, where the subjective creates the objective. Yes, in a sense, knowing that there really is no such thing as objectivity, knowing that you create your own reality totally. Fourth density is taking responsibility for the creation of your reality, acting like you actually do, in fact, create your reality. That is fourth density. Recognizing that everything, as we have said, is synchronicity, and acting like it. Everything is interconnected holographically. Everything is the same one thing manifesting in all the different multifaceted, multidimensional ways that it can, simultaneously with regard to any particular event. Everything you experience is the same one thing. Knowing that and acting like you know it is living in the fourth density, living in the now, living in the moment. Will we be dissolving the unconscious as we now move into this fourth density so that by the time we are fully into it, the unconscious will be completely dissolved? In a sense, yes. You will simply know what you need to know when you need to know it. You will be living in the moment and will fear nothing, and you will be consciously aware of everything in your life as your creation. Nothing mysterious, nothing hidden, nothing occult. Then we will eventually move into integrating with our higher selves. That is still a form of integration with your higher selves in a way, but remaining in physiological terms. Fourth density is the expression of synchronous, harmonious congruency with your so-called higher self, while still remaining to some degree separated. Fifth density, then, is actually becoming the higher self and is non-physical, as we mentioned. I guess the idea seems to be that normally an individual would proceed from third to fourth to fifth to sixth to seventh and so on. That's how you think of it literally from third dimensional point of view, yes. Is it possible to simply pass from third dimension to 12th? Well, to some degree, yes, but you already exist on every level there is to exist upon simultaneously. On the 12th level, you know this. On the third, you may not. But the idea is that on the third, you can become whatever representation of that connection you need to be. But allow me to now ask you a question. In your terms of linear thinking, what would be your reason for going directly from third to 12th without experiencing all of the ones in between? And the idea is to enjoy the third. My experience with third density hasn't been particularly enjoyable, said a questioner. Well, then you will probably remain in it until you realize that it can be. The idea is that when you invalidate an experience you obviously choose to have, then you are not getting out of it what you can get out of it. And it will usually allow you to remain in that experience until you understand the reason for why you chose to be in it to begin with. The quickest way to get to the 12th level is to realize that you can, absolutely, in every way, enjoy the third. Well, I haven't reached the point yet where I find limitations particularly enjoyable. And Bashar says, all right, but understand there are many different kinds of limitations. It is a form of limitation just to be focused in a specific way. Even in what you would call 12th density, there is still the idea of a particular awareness or focus that allows you to conceive of the fact that you are in 12th density. That is still a type of limitation. Limitation in and of itself does not have to be inherently negative. You're simply buying into the belief system or one of the belief systems in your third density reality that all limitation is inherently negative, or that there can be situations that are inherently negative, but there aren't. Let me say again that no situation has any built-in meaning. Whatever meaning you give to a situation is what you have been taught to give to that situation. It's what you have been taught to believe that situation means. The meaning you give to a neutral situation, a neutral set of circumstances or set of props, the meaning you give to it utterly determines the effect you get out of it. So if you do not find third density pleasant, then it is because you have been taught to believe that it is not. Only that belief, creates third density to be effectually unpleasant. Only that belief. There is nothing built into physical reality that says physical reality has to be unpleasant. Just because it is a limitation in a particular way does not mean you cannot soar with exuberance in third density reality. Again, paradoxically, since you obviously have chosen to be in third density reality, it is our suggestion that when you finally let yourself realize you can become absolutely ecstatic in the third density, that is when you will have cognition of the fact that you already exist on all the other levels already. And allowing yourself to know that will be the simple matter of shifting your perspective rather than feeling you have to climb your way out of some thick, dark mire into which you have fallen. It is all a point of view. Now, perhaps this will be of some assistance to you. If you are willing to absorb it directly into your heart, pay close attention to the following definition. Even though we have stated it before, your idea, and we are speaking in general as well, of going from level to level, plane to plane, that idea or process is simply one of recognizing that you actually are the dimension itself that you previously thought you existed in. So if you find yourself thinking that you exist in third density, think again. You are third density. You are the physical universe. The physical universe is you. When you know that you are all you experience the physical universe to be, when you are in control of what it is you do experience the physical universe to be, then it will be heaven on earth, 12th density on earth. All levels align at a particular way of thinking, in a particular mode of thought. All levels align. All you have to do is realize that going from level to level to level is the recognition that you already exist as that level, and think of yourself in that point of view. When you allow yourself to operate as the collective totality that you are, then no one level will seem to be overwhelming, because you will be drawing on the totality of all that you are. You are not cut off from yourself in 12th density. You are always able to draw from all of the power, all of the existence, the totality of the spirit and the soul that you are. Then no one level will seem to be overwhelming, because any one level will seem to be a small fraction of the total being, the total creator that you are. And when you function in that way, enjoying where you are when you are there, living in the moment, living totally in the present, that is paradoxically exactly the way you allow the future and all the levels to accelerate most quickly into your present experience. For you do not go anywhere. All happens within you. You bring those experiences to you, and even that you are not literally doing. Nothing in the universe truly, literally, actually moves or goes anywhere. It is all perspective and point of view, all of it. Do remember this. And this also may assist you greatly when you allow it to sink into whatever portion of you it needs to sink into. Many of the ideas of what many people in your civilization believe to be entrapment, I'm stuck here, I'm stuck there, is because you have been taught to believe that consciousness exists in the body. It doesn't. The body exists within your consciousness. There is a vast difference in the realization of those two definitions, and the idea, therefore, is very unlimiting, very expansive. For you can recognize that what you think of as your body is but one focal point within the combined idea of the consciousness you are, out of which is created all the physical reality you experience. You have much more mobility because you can diversify your focus, disperse your point of view, broaden and expand the way you look at yourself, the way you look through yourself, the way you look through the idea of yourself that is expressed in bodily terms. Thus, it is important to remember that the body is immersed in the collective consciousness that you are. And certainly, Bashar makes quite an impression there with the concept of the utilization of the imagination. And I know that he has also said to questioners, do you know personally? Yes, do we have a caller? So the question is, do you know personally, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the being you desire to be, you are capable of being? And the questioner said, yes, I know that. Well, all right, then start using that certainty to your advantage. If you know you have the capability of imagining what you would like to be, understand, as we have said, that your ability to imagine what you would like to be is your ability to be that person, that version of you. Whatever vibratory plane you are on is what you experience. If you have the ability to conceive how you want to be, at the moment you conceive it, you are that person. But when you deny your imagination its reality and say, okay, I've imagined what I would like to be, now what do I have to see, what do I have to do to become this idea? You're placing all of the steps in your way that it's taking for you to get there. Your ability to imagine that person is being that person, because if you weren't of that vibration, you wouldn't be able to picture it. All you need to do in realizing your imagination is real, and at that moment is who and what you actually are, is to act as if you are, believe you are that person. Then your life will contain the things that are representative of the life of that type of person. The events in your life can only be 100% reflective of the person you have decided you are. So if you are experiencing events in your life you no longer prefer, then allow yourself to recognize that your ability to even imagine there is another way to be is being the other way. All you have to do is to put into physical action the certainty that your ability to imagine there is another way is the reality of being that other person. You, as a persona, are an artificial construct of your consciousness. When your consciousness changes the idea of itself, the person you are is a different person, literally. Only the things that are conducive to that type of person's life will be what you will experience in that life. It is only mechanics, only physics. Whatever vibration you believe yourself to be will be the life you have, plain and simple. And anything that is not of the vibration you are cannot be experienced in your reality. So if you are now willing to know, you no longer need to batter and invalidate yourself, then allow yourself to be whatever you imagine a person would be like who didn't contain a need to batter herself. Be that person you imagine you would like, and your reality will be reflective of a person who no longer contains the vibration of the need to knock herself down in order to show herself something. And this information for those who haven't had the opportunity, comes from Bashar's book, Blueprint for Change, and that is a message from our future, and that is information that was channeled by Daryl Anka. And for those who are not familiar, Daryl has been channeling Bashar because, interestingly enough, Bashar is actually a future self of Daryl. And another comment or question that was asked of Bashar was, but Bashar, I want to know that my life is going to run as smoothly as I want. And Bashar says, all right, allow us to say this. Recognize that we cannot in any way prove any of what we are saying to you. However, I can, in your terminology, 100% guarantee, that is the word you like, guarantee, that you can prove it to yourself. All we are saying is that if you are willing to act as the person you can envision yourself desiring to be, your reality, 100% guaranteed, will reflect that idea, and only that idea to you. It can do nothing else. I guarantee it 100%. Life works when you let it, 100%. It sounds too easy, but life is easy if you let it be. Life always creates more life without any difficulty whatsoever. Existence always continues to exist without any effort at all. No struggle, it just is. It is ecstasy itself. Therefore, allow yourself the opportunity to realize that whatever you can image is real. You cannot imagine non-existence. Go ahead and try. It hurts. Well, all right, recognize therefore that anything you imagine is, on some level of your existence, a real reality. And much of it is manifestable in various ways within physical reality, according to the agreements you have made with everyone else to share the idea of the transformational time frame. Now, let me reiterate a crucial idea mentioned earlier. All of you are as powerful as you need to be to create anything you desire in life without having to hurt anyone else or yourselves in order to create it. Believe in the power you are as the reflective representation of infinite creatorhood. As you think, as you picture, as you imagine, that is real. Be it, if you prefer, what you imagine, and that will be the reality you experience. Understand something. All you need is a basic trust that any given moment you have what you need. You know everything you need to know to be who you are being in that moment. As soon as you redefine who you are, you will know the things that person needs to know, regardless of what you are seeing around you. Paradoxically, the way to see things change in your world most quickly is to change the idea of who you are. You see, the idea of total knowledge of all things is not necessary in order for you to function in the physical reality you are in. In fact, total knowledge would actually hamper your existence. So maybe it's not so much knowledge I want as the love. Then feel it, for it is all around you. But feel it within you first, or you will never see it out there. Know that you cannot change anything out there. You can only allow other people and situations to change. If you wish to see anything in your world change, change yourself. Then the other changes. Then you will be a representative example to everyone else of what kind of unconditionally loving being they can also be by allowing them to see the example you are setting, regardless of what they are choosing. If you are buying into their reality and becoming frustrated and hateful and so on because they are choosing to be frustrated and hateful and so on, you are only reinforcing the reality they are already living. You are not giving them an example. You are not giving them a chance to see any other way. Trust. Be the life you wish to be. Act as if you are that way. We are not suggesting you ignore the fact that other people are choosing to suffer. But the way to assist them best is to first and foremost be the being that at least shows them there is another way to be. Otherwise, they cannot see an example of how they could also choose to be, loving to themselves. You must take the first step if that is truly what concerns you in life. Be the example of what being an unconditionally loving being to them and to yourself is all about, and trust that your love will make a difference and will create the changes you desire to see. You will then be taking yourself to the world, the earth, that already exists in the way you desire it to exist. You will take yourself to that program, to that level of frequency that already is represented by the idea that your earth is peaceful and harmonious and expresses abundance everywhere. That earth exists now. However, you will never see it if you don't make the vibration of that world your own. All the programs, all the ways, all the earths have to be already exist. We're not talking about a vibrational difference from a different frequency, not something that is physically out there. It is all right here and right now. And he goes further to explain about tuning in. Let's use the analogy you call the radio in your society. Now you know that all the programs are coming to the radio all at the same time. But the only one you hear is where your dial is tuned. As all those earths exist right here, right now, the one you get is the one to which you are tuned. So create the image of the one you prefer. Live in the fashion you would live in that world. You will be receiving beacon. You will be the receiving beacon for that energy, so that that program can be broadcast in this reality, and others can pick up on it and decide to tune their dial to that frequency as well. If they don't know that such a program exists, if there are no examples, then others will never know the program exists and will never tune their dials to that frequency. If you have an image in your mind of how you would like the world to exist in your life as if that is the reality for you. All the ideas of the suffering and the warfare and the hatred and the frustration, they are illusions, old programs. And you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that sooner or later everyone will tire of them and go looking for other programs. And if you're not already tuned into that new program, then when they ask you, say, have you heard any good programs lately? You will not know what station to tell them to tune into. Right, but I have trouble staying tuned to that because of all my fears. Oh, when you say you have trouble, that's what creates the trouble. Maybe that's how it was in the old program, but this is day zero. This is the day of your conscious commandment. Are you going to decide to continue that idea, or are you going to decide to be the new idea right now? And if you are the new idea right now, you are not the person who can say, I have trouble with this, I have difficulty with that. You are no longer that person. It is not within your makeup. To say that it is to still believe you are the old program. For remember that the present is the only place you actually ever exist. The only place you will ever exist, and the only place you have ever existed. It is always now, and always shall be, no matter when it is. Well, I get excited about something, I can start out with it, and then it just doesn't manifest. It just doesn't continue on. All right, well, allow yourself to recognize one of the things we have discussed with many of you, that you have on your world an assumption. This basic assumption that you have been taught is that if it does not manifest in the way you think it should, you think the process has stopped, rather than assuming that the next thing that excites you is a part of the ongoing process, you assume that if it changes, then that means it has stopped. It hasn't. It is simply that everything will always transform into what is most representative of the path of least resistance. And you may not always have conscious analytical awareness of what that might be. So if you know you have initiated a certain vibratory energy, a certain excitement, and you see it progressing in a certain way, and all of a sudden it changes, why give it the meaning that it has stopped? Why not give it the meaning that it is still going, but in another mode? In the mode perhaps necessary to attract you to the individuals you originally wanted to attract in the first place, but who were not likely to be attracted to you by the original way you were doing it. So I think that certainly it gives us a lot of food for thought with respect to doing our inner work with regards to making our choices. And certainly one of the choices we can make is to create the effect of being happy. And in Bashar's terms, he would say, outer circumstances don't matter. Only my state of being matters. What state of being do I prefer? Well, if you prefer happiness, choose happiness and see any particular circumstance through those eyes and then act on it. And he was asked, well, there always seems to be the question of how to move to be more open, but these blocks within us, what are these blocks? And Bashar said, it is only your assumption that there is some mysterious how that needs to be known before you will act in the manner you desire. In other words, laugh, be happy, because you want to. As soon as you do, you'll match that frequency. There is no mysterious how, none that has to be there. And if you really want a bottom line definition, then live now. That's how. Anytime you live right in the now, utterly in the moment, any energy that comes along, any difference you feel, you will match instantly due to living fully in the now, accepting it all, open to it all through absolute vulnerability. This is not weakness, but openness, strength, self-empowerment. That's how. Live in the now with it. Assume that what is happening belongs in your lives. Accept it. Acknowledge it. Integrate it. Live through it. Get into it, explore it, examine it, get excited. You know those blocks are there for your reasons, whether you are conscious of the reasons or not. The more you act like you know they're there for your reasons, with or without the consciousness, the sooner you will become conscious of them. Very often the only reason you discover is that they're there for you to accept the energy and accelerate. By the time you accelerate, you've used them for the reason they were there, and there's no other reason to discover. That's it. You go on to the next thing and the next forever. Always enjoy and ecstasy. It's that easy. Be happy. Remember, cause and effect are the same event. You don't have to wait for a reason to be happy in order to know you prefer to be happy. Create the effect of being happy, and you will attract into your lives all of the causes to support the happiness you have created, just because you want to, and just because you say so, because you are the creators of your reality. There doesn't need to be any other why or how, because what you say goes. And certainly, Bashar has commented many times, and he says that in our understanding, and this has always worked for us, there must first of all be within your belief system an absolute acknowledgement and ownership of everything in your life you experience, both positive and negative, for you cannot change what you do not own. Therefore, in all the interactions we have with you, we would request and suggest that whether or not what we have to say is workable for you, and we do not care if it is or not, because what we have to say comes from love. If you find it workable, use it, and if you don't, don't. And certainly that's the attitude and the approach that I find consistent with all of Bashar's teachings, and as well as Daryl, who does the channeling from Bashar. And although Bashar does represent himself as an extraterrestrial from the Esasani civilization, there's absolutely zero effort on the part of either to actually prove that that's the case, because the important thing is the information. And it's so amazing that over the course of the last 25 years, thousands and thousands of people have had their lives changed from the knowledge that Bashar has been passing through Daryl. And like this whole concept right now that, you know, is sort of the hot topics about the UFOs and extraterrestrials and first contact. Certainly, it's all very interesting and fascinating to talk about. But to my way of thinking, the most important thing that's happened in the last 30, 40 years has been the information that's been channeled to the planet from extraterrestrials, because it's the information that's incredible. And it's all, well, not all, but a lot of it is focused on self-empowering information. And certainly it's done in a very light way in terms of information that can be weighed, and then you can decide whether you want to use it or if you can apply it in your life or if it's truth to the information, as opposed to, you know, experiencing a physical contact, which certainly can have somewhat of a shocking experience connected to it. So this is the, to my way of thinking, this is the extraterrestrials' way of getting information to people on the planet that can be receptive to these higher ideals. And actually, Bashar has actually confirmed that by saying that he has, been involved with the experiences of other civilizations, that one of the first things that happens is that information of this type is channeled onto the planet. And certainly ties back to one of his key concepts, and that is that all circumstances are neutral. And that the meaning you choose to believe, the meaning you choose to create in life, about your life, is what generates the particular types of circumstances you experience. And these reinforce and reflect and represent the meanings you are creating. And really, to become magicians, it is like magic, because giving meaning is the actual act of creation itself. To give meaning to something is to create it into existence in your particular experiential realm. And I like the example that he gives of illustrating this idea. Let's say you're on your way to the train station to catch a train, and you arrive at the station, and the train has just left. That is the neutral situation. There is no meaning in it. You are standing on the platform. The train is moving. You're not on it, period. Now, the old you might have had a negative reaction. Oh, gosh, oh, darn, you might say, I have done something wrong. This is very bad. I'm now very angry. Those train people, they were too early. I was not late. They were too early. I will now go and complain to someone. All right, your choice. Or again, the new person, the person you now know you have changed into, is going for the train. You arrive at the platform. The train has left. Once again, the neutral situation. You are on the platform. The train is moving. You're not on it. But now you know you're different. You know that everything in your life is there for a positive reason. It does not matter that the symbol is the same, because you now trust that and do not go stomping off to complain. Your anger no longer blinds you to the fact that having just stepped off that train is a friend you haven't seen in 10 years. If you had reacted in the old way, walking off in anger, you would not have met her. But you will now discover in the course of subsequent events that you did need to meet her at that time and for positive reasons. Therefore, allow yourselves to know you are the definers, ultimately, of the life you experience. And as you define it, as you give it meaning, your life takes on only and can only take on the coloration, the characteristics, the flavors, and the atmospheres of the meaning you decide your life will have. And that is what you will see reflected in the holographic background, the matrix of all universal probable reality. And this is one of the concepts that on ET Yoga we challenge our listeners on a weekly basis to try this. Take any circumstance in your life that you view as negative and throw a positive spin on it. And the higher the positive spin, the more emotion you can put into the positive spin, the more positive the ultimate experience will be. And we challenge you to log those experiences. And they don't always, you know, turn up the next minute, the next day, the next week. Certain circumstances take time. But even if you can't see any possible positive that can come from a particular situation, just say to yourself, well, I don't see any possible positive way, but I'm throwing a positive spin on this emotionally, and I'm going to get excited about seeing just what positive can come from that. And this is the technique to master because it works. And once you see it works, it's stunning. And it just, it's shocking because it works. And the truth of it is that all circumstances are inherently neutral, and they all come with no built-in meaning. You provide the meaning, and you provide the experience. And in closing on tonight's show, I would just like to also give a plug for my website at maxwellgreensight.com. Interested in total immunity from disease? Then maxwellgreensight.com is what you seek. As a spiritual being, you will not live your fear of disease, virus, flu of any kind. This site was developed as a one-stop shop for self-healing and empowerment. It includes material from some of the greatest yogic masters, such as Ramana Maharshi, Yogananda, and Satchidananda, and extraterrestrial knowledge from Bashar, Elin, the Pleiadian Emissaries of Light, the Arcturians, and Mother Mary's College of Christ Consciousness. This is a site where we do the mental work to find out why a certain condition exists, connect with our higher selves, prepare the body to work optimally, claim our personal sovereignty and power, and cure disease with vibration, belief, love, appreciation, gratitude, natural remedies, the newest discoveries and technologies, and the amazing power of the body to heal itself. Remember, your power ends where your fear begins. Put a positive spin on your outer circumstance and go to Healing the Known and Unknown at maxwellgreensight.com. And as usual, I'd like to wish the listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. Hope you tune in again next week. Good night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.